Factor Radio, where you'll get advice and answers from the guy who leads the organic charge. Author, landscape architect, arborist, and your host, the Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan. Mary Rose is real nervous, so I'm going to get back in here on time to be with you, but I made it, as you see, Mary Rose. Telephone number to be with me is 866-444-3478. We had somebody call and said they had trouble reading the website, and I appreciate that. They had to go, maybe to church or whatever, but they didn't give us the specific thing. It may have been about the red lettering. I really appreciate hearing that, because if it's hard to read, we need to fix that, even if it's just a few people that have trouble with that. A lot of people are colorblind to some degree. I think my wife Judy is a little bit. Her dad was severely, so it may be a fairly common thing out there. Let's see what I need to do before I go back to the phones. Just real quickly, so I don't forget to do it, in Howard's Garden, one of the main things going on there is that I'm cutting out the bamboo. The bamboo shoots are coming up, and, man, they are growing big. And I've encouraged them to grow because I wanted to have an even thicker bamboo in this fall-off area at the back, this erosion area, because the bamboo is replacing building some kind of structure, and it's doing a great job. It's our big compost area back in that area as well. And in previous years, I hadn't fertilized it. I hadn't encouraged it because I didn't want it growing even faster into the yard. But I did have now for the past 6 months, I guess. And the stems are bigger, and it's really growing aggressively, but which means that when it encroaches in, those shoots that come into areas where you don't want them, they're going to grow in some cases, you know, 2-3 feet a day when the conditions are right. So you go out during this period of time to maintain bamboo. I have a little grubbing hoe that's the size of a hatchet, and I just smash down, you know, and cut the bamboo shoot that's coming up out. And at the same time, I'm able to feel where the rhizomes are there, and I'll cut it a couple times while I'm right there at the shoot, go to the next one, and toss them into the compost pile. And it goes on in the spring for a while, and you have to be consistent about it, and then it goes away. You stop it from encroaching on into areas where you don't want it. And if you're saying, well, how to get rid of all of it, you do the same thing. It's just a bigger job. You cut it all down, and then you sever those rhizomes in the ground. You don't have to spray toxic chemicals. You don't have to dig it all out. Cutting the rhizomes after cutting the top down will kill it all out. We don't want to do that. We have acres of it, literally. And we're just trying to keep it out and, you know, working with our neighbors, you know, to do the same thing from encroaching into the landscape areas. The other thing is I'm trimming some dead wood out of some plants. Ended up with several trees, especially some live oaks, and just doing a little corrective pruning here and there on stuff and cleaning up now that I can see what's dead and what's alive. Just doing a little neatening of the garden. All righty, back to the phones, and let's see who is next. Angie, I believe, in Forney, Texas, listening on 660. Hi, Angie.
Oh, hi, Garrett. I have a question. I purchased a 15-gallon Yaupon holly from I thought it was a reputable garden center.
Okay.
And, of course, it was planted too deep, and in their instructions, I mean, I knew to expose it, the root flare, but also their instructions recommend it also. So I did that, and then we planted it exactly how you recommend, and it went into like all the leaves like turned a real dull green.
Okay.
And a lot of them just dropped off, so it went into shock, I guess.
Yeah, that is shock. That's common, and that's not a good sign.
Yeah, so what I did immediately, I called somebody at the garden center and told them. And then I sent them pictures a week later. He just said, keep it, you know, water it deeply. And so a week later, I sent pictures and explained exactly what I did and how I planted it. And he said, just keep it watered, it'll be fine. Well, now it's been at least 2 weeks, I think, since I've done it. My question is, he keeps saying, oh, it'll be fine. I don't think so. And so I just want to make sure from your get your opinion, because I want to go back and just take the plant back and say, hey, I'm not willing to wait a whole year for this plant to come back.
No, when a Yaupon holly turns that gray color, it's really the case with any holly. When you get that kind of dull color to the plant, it's dead. It will not come back from that. So I think you can go ahead and get that all in motion. Hopefully they'll take care of you, have some kind of guarantee. Telling you to water
deep. They have a year guarantee.
Okay, good. Well, telling you to water it more with all the rain that we've had is probably pretty bad advice to begin with. So just you're going to have to start over, plant it high, water it reasonably. And Yaupons are one of the plants that do seem to respond to doing a little bit of thinning when you plant it, especially bald and burlap plants. And if it was a bald and burlap plant just stuck in a pot, that would have been the case. If it was actually grown in the container, I want you to take it out and put it in a wash tub full of water and soak it, hydrate it, and unwind any circling and girdling roots before you stick it in the ground.
Well, I did the I don't know, how do you soak a 15-gallon plant? Those are huge.
Just get a wash tub and set it in there and soak the bottom part and pour water on to the top part. You can get it hydrated that way.
Okay. Yeah, it was buried about 4 inches. So when I just knew that. The other thing is, I just wanted to make a comment. I had called last summer about rabbits in my backyard, and I had 18-inch raised beds, and I said I was going to be building like these fences to put around it, and I just wanted you to know that it worked.
Oh, good.
The fence, the beds themselves are about 18 inches high, and then the fence it's 24 inches, but it's like on the outside of the bed, so actually it's only 18 inches, and that's kept out the rabbits. So about 36 inches seems to work. So just for
did you countersink it into the soil to keep them from digging under it, or did you have to do that?
No, I didn't have to because
you just went up.
Raised.
Okay, good. I'm glad it worked.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, it worked. Yeah,
right.
I just wanted to tell other listeners about
way
that.
Way to go.
So.
Way to go.
Okay.
Thanks,
well,
Angie.
Thank you.
Good luck with your tree, and let me know.
Thank you. Right. Okay. Bye bye.
Yeah, Yaupons or any holly. Just a little tip for you: if they turn a dull color, go from the shiny green appearance to a dull gray green, they're dead. They're not going to come back. It's all over. And that happens sometimes. Sometimes plants just die. I mean, sometimes transplant shock happens, but then in that case, between planting it too deep and overwatering, it sounds like that might have been the case. Mary's in Chicago. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great.
Great. I just started listening to you like last year, and I stopped using that, Scott.
Way to go.
Now, my grass doesn't look that great, but that's okay. It's going to come back because I'm listening to you. But I have another problem. I have this creeping tree issue that's coming from my easement butting up to my backyard. How do I get rid of that stuff? It's just horrible out there.
You said creeping Charlie?
Yeah, it's that little purple plant.
It has round leaves?
Yeah.
Yeah, we call that ground ivy and a bunch of different things. That's one I need to add to my weed chart. In fact, I'm going to make a note of that. It's pretty easy to control with the organic techniques, Mary. You can spray it with that. You could mail, or if the local nurseries there in Chicago don't have it, the 20% vinegar, or you could go to the grocery store and buy 10% pickling vinegar and add a little orange oil to it. My formula is on the website on dirtdoctor.com, and spray it that way. If it's in the turf area, you could use the product called Agrilawn Crabgrass Killer, AgraLawn. And you probably have bent grass or bluegrass or fescue. It doesn't work quite as well on the cool season grasses like you have as the, you know, warm season grasses that we have, but it'll still work. I'd start with just spraying vinegar and going that route and doing a little hand removal, and then if that doesn't work, give the AgriLawn product a try.
So just get the pickling vinegar?
Pickling vinegar is somewhere between 8 and 10%, and you spray it straight, but you add a little orange oil and just a little bit of soap to it to make it work even better. My formula is on my website, dirtdoctor.com.
I will go to your website.
Okay.
And just go under weeds, right?
Yep.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Okay, you too. Thanks for calling. And the formulas, if they aren't in a specific area of the weed, are under guides on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. And I'll be back right after this. To turn any space into a garden, it's easy with Smart Pot. It's a fabric container that's portable, foldable, reusable, 100% BPA-free, provides better drainage than ceramic or clay pots, releases heat, and prevents soil compaction and even circling roots. A really big deal. For more information or to find a store in your area, go to smartpots.com. That's smartpots.com.
Farms and greenhouses throughout America rely on biosafe systems for healthier plants and better yields. You too can enjoy longer blooms and better results in your own backyard and garden with biosafe weed control, disease control, and plant food. Biosafe Systems believes products should be effective and safe for use around pets, children, and wildlife. Our products are certified organic, so you can feel good about using them in your own backyard. Visit us online today at www.biosafe.net to learn more. Biosafe Systems, simply sustainable, always effective.
Believe it or not, weight management is more than simply calories in versus calories out. To achieve your ideal weight, your digestive system must function effectively. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author of The Hamptons Diet and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Research has found that there are regulating factors that control absorption of calories and whether they are stored as fat. One of the most significant influences in our ability to keep fat off is having the proper amounts of beneficial bacteria in our GI tracts. These friendly bacteria help in regulating blood sugar and normalizing our appetite. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics every day due to its carefully selected strains of live beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health, increase energy through better absorption of nutrients, and help with weight management. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available today. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
Black Cow, the mature manure. Black Cow.
Black Cow composted cow manure is the perfect soil conditioner for our Texas soils. Black Cow enriches the soil with organic matter and helps retain moisture. Now is the perfect time to prepare fall flower beds and fall vegetable gardens. Getting the soil ready is your first step. Black Cow is fully composted, easy to use, and there's no bad odor. Fall is also a great time to set out new shrubs and trees. It's cooler and less stressful on new plants. Mix Black Cow with your native soil right in the planting hole. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Look for Black Cow in the bright yellow and black bag at your favorite garden center or home improvement warehouse. For more information, check the website, Black Cow, spelled with a K.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure. Black Cow.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com. Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you. And I've got loaded lines, so we're going to go right back to the phones. But I've got a little report for you for the people here in Dallas-Fort Worth area about their latest, my latest travels around this area to the retail stores and what I discovered. But first, Harry in Dallas is next up. Hey, Harry.
Yes, sir. One last question. Is our apartment complex, like this, has a community garden. And I have three teenagers that would really like to get into the organic.
Yeah.
I got your deal about your video series, and they want to know if they can become certified as teenagers, and at the same time, the apartment complex is going to pay you for the video series. Can all three of them sign up at one time? Do they have to pay three separate prices? How does that work, sir?
Well, there's two answers to that question, I guess, Harry. I hadn't thought about that. They could sign up one time and all three sit there and do it together.
Yes, sir.
The only negative about that is at the end of it, after completing the course, all 15 chapters, there would only be one certificate that would go out. To receive a certificate and be certified, you know, under your name, you'd have to, each one of them would have to sign up. But there's nothing to stop one person from signing up and then all three of them sitting there and taking the working together on it and watching the video together and taking the test.
That's what I was thinking. Okay, because one of them, he's an 11-year-old kid. He mapped out the butterfly garden.
Oh, great. Terrific.
He mapped out the sunflower garden for the bees. And everything, he's really into it, but there was a couple of others who wanted to join in.
Well, give them that suggestion, see what they think about it. It's not anything that, we go around promoting, but I don't know what would keep them from doing that.
Okay, well, because these are, shall we say, poorer families, and so the apartment complex, they were willing to pay for one.
That's great. That's terrific.
Yeah.
Well, have them contact us and tell them that, and we might be able to help out with a little discount for them as well.
That'd be great. I'd really appreciate that, sir, because the apartment complex, there's a lot of Section 8 children.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, last year they had no idea what a cucumber was.
Okay. No, yeah. We'd be glad to help. Just have them contact the contact information on the website, and Doug will be glad to help them out with getting set up.
I appreciate that, Mr. Garrett. You have a wonderful day.
Okay, thanks. Good idea. Related to that, and there's already some companies that are going this direction. But if you have a company and you want your, especially if you're in the landscape business or a related business, and you want your employees to take the certification course and be certified, you can. There are group discounts, you know, for people that want to go that route. So, if there's something unusual, like he was just calling about, just contact us. Contact information is on the website. The information there about the course, and I'm sure that there'll be some way to help out. Let's see what is next here. Hester's been waiting a long time in Arlington. Hey, Hester.
Good morning, Howard.
Is this Hester?
This is Hester.
Okay, what's up?
And my question has to do with rose rosette.
Okay.
I have a rose. It's a pass-around rose. I don't know its name. It's been in the family for probably 40 years. It got the rose rosette problem on the tip of one side of the bush, on the tips of the branches. I used your method and sprayed it in the last fall when it showed up. I sprayed it and then sprayed it again. And then during the winter, I didn't do it every 2 weeks. Now, I just noticed this week that some of the sprouts from the base of the plant are completely involved all the way from the base to the tip, and they're several feet high. They just came up really fast. The rose has been blooming just beautifully, but it must be in the root system now, and I'm wondering what's my chances of overcoming this problem, and what should I do? What's my next step?
Well, it's a good question. I'm watching some roses that have rosette come back that were cut all the way to the ground, and it's really a curious thing that's happening. Some of the new growth that's coming up still shows some symptomatic foliage, you know, the red and the deformity and everything, and then other shoots are looking completely normal. And I'm kind of glad to see it, because I'm going to experiment around with cutting the infected part back again and letting the part that still looks good grow. Continue to treat, you know, with the soil treatments and the hydrogen peroxide mixed with the Garrett Jushin on the plant, and see if we can't get the good part to dominate and come back and be healthy. If that doesn't work, to answer your question, all you can do is if it keeps coming back from the base and it's down in the roots and everything, is to remove that plant. So we're right. we're seeing some plants be able to be saved, and some, depending on how the treatment was done, not being able to be saved. The most curious thing I'm seeing about rose rosette is that some of the plants that had symptoms last year are growing back now perfectly healthy. I'm seeing stands of knockout roses, for example, all around Dallas, just looking absolutely beautiful and thick and healthy. So it's not consistent is the answer. Okay. You just have to do what you have to do.
One further question with that is, what would be my chances if I made cuttings from the healthy section of the rose?
Good. It'd be worth trying.
Not being infected.
Yeah, it'd be worth trying. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. It's Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back with you right after this. Don't go away.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on the effectiveness of natural organic gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's programs works better, saves money, and helps us to enjoy healthier lives. We need your support. Go to TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org to donate. Stop the broad-scale use of toxic chemical pesticides and fertilizers. Donate at TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org today. That's TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org. Again, TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org.
Howard's latest book, Organic Lawn Care, Growing Grass the Natural Way, will take you step by step through installing and maintaining turf organically. He explains in detail how to establish and maintain a lawn, including planting, mowing, watering, fertilizing, and managing weeds and other pests. Follow the program in Organic Lawn Care, and don't be surprised when your water bill drops 40 to 50% and your lawn is the best looking one on the block. To order, call 866-444-3478. That's 866-444-3478. Or ask for it in your favorite bookstore or garden center.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit HowardGarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
All right, Howard, back with you, and let's get back to the phones. Let's see what Daryl, our snake expert, is up to in Lancaster. Hey, Daryl. Hello, Daryl.
Oh, let's see. There you go. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I snuck up on you, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
What's up?
Well, it's spring, and I know you've gotten a whole lot of new listeners since last spring, and it's about the time to say the snakes are beneficial talk, so I'll try to be brief. If you're out there, you know, with a shovel in your hand, you see the snake, do not join the two together, please. Just like Howard taught me about wasps, my fear was wasps, and I don't blame anybody who has a childhood fear of snakes. It's not something to browbeat yourself about, but it's really easy to fix. I learned from Howard, even though I had a well-earned childhood-based fear of wasps, that they're beneficial and they really don't want to mess with you, just like the snake doesn't. And it took me a whole summer to make peace with them, but I have no problem with them at all anymore, and it's incredibly empowering to go through that. So if you see the snake, leave him alone. Name him George. Now, if you really want to know if he's venomous, vast majority of the snakes are not going to be, and even a venomous snake is no threat to you if you don't muck with them. The venom is not meant for you. It's meant for getting lunch. And they really only use it when something tries to kill them, and that's a $45,000 mistake, even if it's just a copperhead.
You don't like to call them poisonous because that means that if you ate the snake, you'd die, right?
Correct. And there are two snakes that fit that bill. They both eat a poisonous prey animal. Now, nobody eats these snakes, so it never comes up, but technically there are two poisonous snakes. You do know there's a venomous plant, right?
A venomous plant. Let me think.
A venomous plant. It injects poison.
Which one is it?
Stinging nettle.
I guess so. I guess it's the physical needles, but they actually have a poisonous chemical in the needles?
Yes, it injects it under the skin.
All right, you told me something I don't know. We've got stinging nettle. We got bull nettle in the weed list. I need to make sure I've got that kind of information in there.
Yeah, it's a fun fact. I actually learned that from a venom exhibit at a museum. The docent at the end told me that. I said, that's wonderful.
And they're saying that that's the only plant that's in that category? That would be kind of hard to believe.
Well, think about it. Every other plant that administers a poison, I mean, you have to either be eaten by it or brush against it or eat it to be poisoned. None of those are venomous. The one that injects under the skin is the stinging nettle.
Yeah. Yeah, and it hurts, too. It's not,
oh, it does.
Not good, yeah.
Although they say that's really good for you, you know, that there's something medicinal about that.
Kind of like
Native
getting
Americans
stung
used to
by
do it
a bee if you have arthritis or something.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Exactly.
Okay,
so,
well, Mary Rose does not buy into your snakes are great yet. We've got to work on her a while. I guess I'll have you into the show. We hadn't done that in a while. I'm going to bring all those snakes with you like we did before. She's shaking her head in there.
I specialize in people like you, Mary.
David may have to take over that day. No, you need to break out.
Yeah, she should be there. Yeah, but she should be there. I'm cheaper than a shrink.
Yeah. All right, Daryl. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Talk to you soon.
Bye bye.
Snakes. We've got some information on Facebook right now. There was some interest. Interesting column I ran into that I put on there that a lot of people have been taking a look at. You might look at that. Facebook.com/TheDirtDoctors where you'll find that. Let's ease over to North Dallas and talk to Richard. Hey, Richard.
Hey, good morning, Howard.
Good morning.
Get the radio turned down.
Thank you, sir.
It's good to see the bees back.
Well, they're trying to make a return, maybe getting rid of some of these neonics will help a great deal.
Yeah, I'm glad to see them. And also, I've got a lizard farm going over here. I've identified about 4 species.
Oh, really? Good.
Yeah. And the main reason I called is I got about 80 pounds of green sand. I want to treat my palms, especially my pendo palm. And I know that we got the clay soil, which is alkaline.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to, and the green sand would make it more acidic, right?
No, not necessarily. Plus, I don't worry about pH too much except for just a few plants like blueberries and things like that. With palms, you don't need to worry about it at all. Green sand, kind of an interesting subject because one of the main deposits that we've had here in Texas is going away. They're not going to be mining it anymore. So I'm going to be talking to some people this next week about some other places where green sand can come from. Its pH is kind of, it would be surprising to most people. It's around neutral, maybe even a little higher than neutral. So it's not going to cause a pH problem one way or the other.
Okay, just broadcast it all over the yard.
Yeah, you bet. I think it's a wonderful tool to use in almost all soils because it's got so many available nutrients in it. They're available because it's buffered real well with a lot of organic matter in it. It's marine deposits, you know, that's ancient.
Right.
And,
well, you know,
yeah, it's a great product.
I got it last year and it was wet. I called you and I dried it out.
Uh-huh.
Put it in 5-gallon buckets and I'm ready to apply it.
Well, just put it out by hand or put it in a fertilizer spreader, either one, and put it out anywhere from 40 to 80 pounds per 1,000 square feet is what I recommend if you've never used it before.
I have. I put it around the palm trees. I used to use sulfur on that pendo palm. You told me that that's a pure compound and not really a good idea.
Yeah, if you do it long term, it could be a problem. Is your pendo looking yellow and chlorotic?
Not at all. It never has. It started in a pot, and it's been in the ground about 4 years, and it's about, 5 feet tall, but real bushy.
Yeah, that's a great palm for here and very hardy. Doesn't have any winter problems at all.
None. And my Texas sables, golly, it was a 3 gallon one 6 years ago.
They get big.
15 feet tall.
They get really big. Those are two good ones. Those are two of the best.
And I'm about to put some needle palms in a little to kind of make a little screen by the pool, you know?
Yeah, you're a palm guy, huh?
I am.
Well, those
I
are
am.
The, those are three of the toughest.
And I'd like to give a shout out to this young couple that bought the place behind us. And me and them are the only ones interested in organics. And their name's Kevin and Rebecca. And I told them to listen.
All right. Welcome aboard. Thank you.
All right, Howard. Well, let me ask you about this lizard. It looks like an anole, but it's got a racing stripe down its back.
It's probably the Texas lizard. It's got another common name. I may have a picture of it in the Texas Bug Book. You might take a look at that. And the University of Texas Press, which is one of my publishers, they've got one or two books on reptiles that are just terrific.
All right, the
cover of the reptiles in Texas. So I'd recommend that you get that, especially since you've got several species and you're really into it. I think you'd enjoy their books.
I'll do that. And I name my lizards like your last caller names the snakes.
Okay, good, good. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it, Richard.
All right, Howard, thank you.
Talk to you later. Yeah, that's probably another subject that at some point I need to cover, like I'm doing weeds and vines, is the reptiles and all that are around, and do a master list on them and make it easy for people to find. Got an open line for you all of a sudden here at 866-444-3478. We're going to ease over to New Jersey, Brownsville, New Jersey, and talk to Barbara. Hey, Barbara.
Hello.
What can I do for you?
I was calling because I've called you before, and I bought your books and everything, but I wanted to find out if you know of something that I can use on my property for ticks.
Sure. Beneficial nematodes.
Really?
Yeah, they work almost as well on the ticks as they do on fleas, Barbara, especially if you use them early in the year. And which means now for you, go ahead and get some by mail order and put them out. Just follow the simple instructions and put them out, and you'll be.
Well, what is the when you spray with those? Is there a special kind of sprayer to use? Because I don't think I have one.
Well, it's one of the things where you can use just a cheap, inexpensive hose-end sprayer. Because I don't care about it putting the nematodes out in perfect uniformity. You see what I mean?
Yes.
And the cheap hose-end sprayers work. But I tell you what I do, and I've got a pretty big place. Our home garden is fairly large. I use a great big watering can. It's a big old galvanized watering can that I got a long time ago that has a sprinkler nozzle on, so it comes out like a – like your shower, and I mix them in that and just walk around and slosh them out with this big watering can.
Oh, will that help with the deer tick?
It'll help with any kind of ticks. And the second thing I would do is that you have to understand the behavior of ticks a little bit. Ticks tend to be up in bushes and up on trunks of trees and even on the sides of structures, because what they do is they hang out waiting for a blood meal to come by so they can jump off on them. So in addition to treating the soil with the beneficial nematodes, which is very inexpensive and it helps with a lot of other pests as well, so I'll recommend it from a bunch of standpoints. But the second thing to do is to buy some one of the organic pest control products that is an essential oil product.
Essential oil.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of them on the market. The one that's probably the easiest to find is one that supports our show that I really like a lot that hopefully you have there is called BioSafe. There's another one called EcoSmart. And there's other brand names as well. But what you want to look for is essential oils on the the list of active ingredients, and it'll be rosemary.
Are you familiar with the product called the Bionide products? Are they organic?
Bionide?
Yes.
Or Bonide?
Maybe it's Bonide,
well,
yes.
Bonide has a bunch of toxic chemicals, and they have some excellent organic products also. So just be careful that you're buying their organic ones. They probably do have a one or two essential oil products. I think they also have a spinosad product, Barbara.
And
spinosad is an organic pest control product that's made from microorganisms, and that'd be fine, and that would help you with the ticks as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yesterday I heard about the Bonide products from another person on the radio that talks about organic gardening.
Well,
I don't know if you've ever heard of him, Dr. Rosen.
Don't know Dr. Rosen, him or her. But Bonide has both. Just be careful which one you're buying.
I will.
Okay.
So, thank you very much.
I appreciate the call. I hear the birds flying this way. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Telephone number to be with me. We've got one open line right now, real quick. Call in at 866-444-3478. Website dirtdoctor.com. That's where you can sign up with a free newsletter and learn about the new Natural Organic Certification course.
XO Odor Neutralizer is the original all-natural odor eliminator air freshener. It's non-toxic, pH neutral, and no fragrances. If you want to get rid of big odors, but do it naturally and keep it safe for children and pets, then you've got to try XO Odor Neutralizer. XO has an exclusive offer just for Dirt Doctor listeners. An 8-ounce pump spray and a 16-ounce refill bottle for only $19.98 with free shipping. Go to exocorp.com/dirtdoctor or call 800-442-9696.
It's not just your garden. It's the way you live. And there's so much to know. But you have help. Bonnie Plants. Now with Bonnie's app, Homegrown, you can learn about veggie and herb varieties, track and record your garden with photos and notes, share on Facebook and Twitter, and so much more. How'd you ever grow without it? Get Homegrown with Bonnie Plants for iPhone and Android. The more you know, the better you can grow. With Bonnie.
Dram is celebrating 75 years of design and manufacturing of quality watering tools. Heavy-duty Dram sprinklers fit any size yard. Match any shape in your yard with the 9-pattern turret sprinkler. The oscillating sprinkler has 18 brass jets for uniform watering of up to 3,000 square feet. The spinning sprinkler creates a very fine soaking spray. Dram sprinklers, the professional's choice for lawn and garden, are available at your local independent garden center. Visit Dram on Facebook or at dram.com.
As we age, our glutathione levels drop dramatically, and that's a big deal because glutathione is our body's master antioxidant, repairing cell damage caused by environmental toxins and aging. RegActive's probiotic strain ME3 is proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione in the body. RegActive is from Essential Formulas, known for introducing Dr. O'Hara's fantastic probiotics to the United States 15 years ago. Dirt Doctor advice, look for RegActive at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
A smooth flowing bloodstream is vital to good health. And one of the keys to maintaining that smooth flow is Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Kyolic accelerates circulation, revitalizes cells, and keeps blood platelets from sticking to each other or to artery and capillary walls. You see, the body produces an amino acid called homocysteine. If left unchecked, high homocysteine levels can become a serious health risk. Today, many health experts believe that homocysteine is more of a risk factor than cholesterol. And Kyolic is the only garlic supplement patented to reduce homocysteine levels, a major risk factor for arteriosclerosis and coronary heart disease. In fact, Kyolic is the only aged garlic extract. So get traffic moving smoothly along all your major arteries. Look for Kyolic. You'll find it where quality nutritional supplements are sold.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you. Just a short follow-up on the comment about Bonide's products and that they have a lot of chemicals and they also have some organic products. The one that you'll be hearing a lot about, if you're not already, is Bayer. And Bayer is in that category, too, only in a more, in a bigger way, in a more complicated way, probably. They have incredibly toxic pesticides and products, of course, that we don't recommend. And they've now decided that since the world is coming our way so much that they will get into the organic business, too. So they've got a bunch of quote-unquote organic pest control products. Now, some of them that Bayer has, I could be okay with, fatty acid products and some other things. But on the other hand, they've got some things like pyrethrin products. They still think that pyrethrin, that us organic people think pyrethrin is okay to use, and it's not. It's way too toxic, and it's unnecessary, and it causes allergy problems up to and including problems with kids, you know, with asthma and things. So we don't recommend those at all. So the point is they've got some so-called organic things, but I would still stick with the people that primarily make organic products, and you can be more comfortable. At least I've been doing this myself. Look at the MSDS sheets on the various products and see what's actually in them. See what's on the labels and then look up the MSDS sheets. That's one thing Bayer, being a big company, they do well because they're required to by the Fed, is have these MSDS sheets, and you should look for those on any kind of a pesticide product that you are buying. They also have a neem product, and neem is kind of, you know, good news, bad news kind of thing. Neem can be a very effective organic product that's acceptable in an organic program. Problem is, a lot of the liquid neem products, like the Bayer product would be, are worthless as far as efficacy. There's not enough active ingredient in the liquid product, and there's no shelf life on liquid certain liquid neems. Now, I don't know that theirs is in that category, but I do know that some of the liquid neem products are. So just, buyer beware on all that stuff. Let's see who's next up. Pam in Hazlett, Texas. Hi, Pam.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thanks.
Hey, I've been planting some spring flowers and get them all real pretty, and I turn around and the rabbits to come in at night and eat them all up. Okay. Have any suggestions?
Well, like an earlier caller suggested, you could do fences and fence off all the stuff, but that normally is not practical. I was delighted to learn just a couple of weeks ago while I was doing my trips around visiting retail stores that the Mole Scram products are still on the market. And one of their products is Rabbit Scram. That's the name of it. And
okay.
It works very, very well. So I think that'd be the first thing I would suggest that you try. Marshall Grain had it in their store in Arlington, but where else it would be, I don't know. You just have to kind of call around and see. Any garden center or any feed store, farm store should be able to get it for you if they'll just do it.
Okay, so just apply it.
Yeah, it's a granular product, and you just toss it out, and it repels the little bunnies very, very well.
Okay. Is it maybe one time or once a week?
Yeah,
or?
You just have to see. It's going to wear away at some point, so maybe you can change their behavior with one or two applications, get them to go bother your neighbors more than your garden.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, they got a whole line of products, Deer Scram, Mole Scram, Gopher Scram. The only one we ran into that didn't work, they did a snake product, and Daryl didn't see very much efficacy there. So we still don't have a good snake repellent that I know of, anyway. Ann in Dallas, Texas. Hello, Ann.
Hello.
What can I do for you?
Yes, sir. First of all, I wanted to ask you, always talking about the coffee grounds.
Mm-hmm.
Does it have to be coffee that grounds that's already been brewed, or just throw it out there that's in the out of the package or the container?
Either one. It would just be a cost consideration. If you use, fresh coffee, it's going to cost a lot more. If you use it for coffee and then use it, if you don't drink coffee, it's fine. Or you can go to restaurants and coffee shops and places like that. Starbucks even gives away coffee grounds, so you can get it for free in any number of places. But it can be the coffee before it's brewed and used. It can be decaf coffee. It can be regular coffee. It doesn't make any difference.
Okay. Now, I need to ask you, sir, I have a big problem, and this has been going on for years whenever my dad was still alive, is the sandburrs.
Mm-hmm.
There still is one big, large patch at the front of the house, and every year I get out there before the seeds, start getting too much, exposed, or before they start falling off and get dead. And I dig, and I dig, and I do this every year.
Well, we don't have to do that, Ann. You can control grass burrs.
I'm getting too old, sir.
You can control grass burrs by putting out a lot of products that build the carbon in the soil, and that'll keep them from germinating. I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll talk, and I'll talk about grass burrs and some other weeds to start the third hour. If you don't get our show, you can listen on DirtDoctor.com, the live stream there. We also have an app, the Dirt Doctor app. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. 866-444-3478 is the number to call and be on the show. Free newsletter, just sign up on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com.